We're going to go backwards. Let's go to Jude first. I didn't study something that is critical.
Back to what?
We're going to Jude, but then we're going to repeat verse 8. Well, we read, in order to make sense of it, I'm going to start in verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And we spent a lot of time on that yesterday, but we didn't go. filthy dreamers. It's coming up with good ideas. You're beguiled by your own images that you've created in your mind. Does everybody understand what that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's look at something. Let's go to 2 Kings. Chapter 23. Huh?
Turn right to the.
You get a gold star.
I know, it's first one.
Just before, we've read this before, but I didn't do it right. But the book of the law was discovered, and then Josiah was the king. And so, start in verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to judgment. Now, when we studied this intently, we spent months on Josiah and Hezekiah, the two that said that they had the greatest Passovers ever because they did this. And that we saw that in each and every case, these high places where they are worshiping false gods are the same high places in our minds. Remember, we've talked about there's seven mountains of your mind, seven high places. That's where the whore of Babylon sits, on those seven high places. And each of the things, the grove and all of these different pollutions that they did, is what we do naturally. And that's what we have. And that's why, let's go. We're going to go back to verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah, and the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places, in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, to all the host of heaven. And burning incense is just your thoughts. You've got to remember that. And the seven high places are what they're now going through and destroying every one of the idols and false activities on these seven high places. In verse 6, he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove, and brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba unto Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were entering into the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were of a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through fire to Molech. And he took away the horses. Well, anyway, we could go on and on and on.
I had a question about priests of the high places. Those were not priests of the temple at all. Those were people that, controlled the worship on the high places.
Right. There wasn't the temple.
All right.
Now, the only people that were here were, when we did this, was Pete and Gary and I. And it took us months. And we went through and tried to identify what each of these things mean. But every single one of these things that Hosea asked them to destroy, there's a parallel with what goes on in your mind. And so it's the seven high places, or the same seven high places that are in the seven tribes of that were in Canaan, and it's the seven mountains that are in the Book of Revelation that the Antichrist sits on. I mean, it all ties perfectly together. Let's go to Revelation 17 just to see that again. See, I'm taking side steps from my side steps.
You're gonna dance.
What?
It's like dancing.
Well, again, once you see this, if you see that you don't have to do it anymore, it feels like dancing. Oh, I went to chapter 7 and it wasn't there. It's because it's supposed to be in 17. Now remember, there are seven angels, seven high places. There's seven throughout. And seven is the Sabbath. It's the rest. And so all of these things that have to do with seven have to do with violating the rest. i.e. the rest, that Christ is now our life, so he is our Sabbath. Now, does everybody understand that at the core? That Jesus Christ, the Sabbath is no longer a day of the week, it's a person. All right. And there came, and there are the seven angels are just increasing intensity and showing John what the world is, what's happening in the world. And now this seventh, it just says one of the seven. Now this angel now that's taking John, and every one of the angels says in one way or another, come see, come see. And the only way you can come see is to look from the top down, not from the bottom up. So now, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, it's good to remember that in verse 15 it says what those waters are. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And so it's every man and woman. Come unto me hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The great whore, what we're reading now is our mind. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, what does that mean? Fornication, from God's standpoint, is going anywhere else for your sustenance and satisfaction other than him. And so herein, the fornication is far more than just what we think of fornication. Here, the fornication is when you go up to the high places and commit adultery with the whore, rather than live by faith alone. Does this communicate? So he carried me away in the spirit and into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the same seven heads and ten horns that are in when the Antichrist is identified. It's always going back to this place, seeing it in the scriptures, seeing it in Israel's trek, and the capture of the high places, to this is happening in you. And that's why the Old Testament exists, so you can see this work in great detail. Amen? All right. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Now, everything in that golden cup is something you want or like. Remember, even in the stars, that golden cup is sitting on the Draco, the snake. And that's the enticement. I got to tell you this little story. When I saw all this early on when I was trying to prove the Bible wrong, I said, "How in the world can you ever?" I said, "How in the world could I ever teach about this? This sounds like something out of a bad comic book." And I don't know if I still have ever been able to preach or teach it, because it's so unbelievable. that we have been deceived that much. That our very attempts not to be deceived are more and more of the deception. The only escape from that deception and the fear of God is to find the fear of God somewhere in you. Anyway, and upon her forehead was a name written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration or great surprise. No, it doesn't mean he liked it. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you, or tell thee, the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. Now, I just wanted to remind everybody of that, the seven, the same way we're going all of the seven places that we just read in 2 Kings. This is the warfare that has to take place in you. But it can't take place until you see it and repent of it. Am I boring anybody? Well, somebody must have some response. Or unless you just, you know this stuff so good you don't need it anymore. Nobody has any response.
Let's talk about the high places. Talk about the high places. I mean, I don't know that anybody remembers, and I don't remember a lot of myself. The high places.
Well, the high places are the seven tribes, the seven mountains of Israel, or Canaan.
If they represent certain,
they represent the high places in your mind. Seven, there are seven high places, seven, the same as in Israel and Canaan. There are seven of these high places in our minds, and that's where we go up to worship.
They have an identity. Each one has a different aspect of, not everyone does the same type of worship.
Well, every one of the high places has the same, but one of them is more powerful in that particular. But the seven, the fornications are all there, but they just, in each of the seven, they all have the same seven, but each of one is dominant.
I just remember one of them where the Philistines were... It came from like a term to mean to wallow in self, like figs, or wallow in the mire or something like that. We study each of them. Each of them represents something. But anyway, is that what you're getting at there?
Yeah, I just don't remember the identities.
Okay, well, the only identity that we've identified, and there's a reason for it, is the last one. We have to go from the last to the first instead of the first to the last when studying, because we're looking from a different perspective.
Oh, yeah, I remember the last one too.
Remember, there's seven tribes, and one of them is the Jebusites. And the Jebusites were the tribe that were on Mount Zion and the areas around it. Now, they had to... And that was the most attractive, the most difficult to destroy.
They represented hope.
Right. The Jebusites were their main job is to give you hope. Now, that was bad enough to think that your hopes would be evil. Unless you would happen to have a hope that you knew was evil. But any hope besides God is evil. But and it's the last one, the Jebusites are the last one. But the way in which you have to teach about it, you have to teach from the last to the first. because you'll never understand the other ones until you understand what those purposes were. And the purpose, all of them, is to give you something other than faith, to cause you to create imagery in your mind, which is worshipped by every man and woman that has ever lived. And to cast it down. Now, I'm not going to do the other six until we get this one down to see. I mean, because if you can only see that everything is about exclusive worship to God instead of to all these other things that you put God's name on. Every time you see the word Baal, B-A-A-L, in the scriptures, it's something, it's a false god, but it's something that you have put the name of God on. And it's a false god. It's a Molech instead of Melech. One vowel point off. All right, anyway, I just wanted to get back to seeing this is what all of this that we're doing is about.
One other big one was on the high place, some of them look to the east to worship the rising sun, the hope of what's coming.
All of them.
It's always going to be a better day tomorrow.
Right. All of them worship the east.
I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be a contender.
Well, yeah, I didn't. But you don't have to go that big.
Yeah.
It's where you have created an image in your mind of what you think you hope for, or what you think you whatever,
yeah.
And that becomes Baal to you. Then is a god that you are giving breath to. And this is where the warfare comes about, not giving breath to anything in the world. Comes, the reason you give it importance is your mind. And every man and woman does this. That's why this mystery of the cross comes against that. But again, it's so strange. It's hard to talk about. Amen? Let's go to go to 2 Corinthians, I think. Yeah. This is the instructions. This and Romans 12 are the instructions.
Chapter.
Romans chapter 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's the dominions. And every high place is what it says, not high thing, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's the instruction. Now, remember, It's not, God's not going to violate anything about you. You can't. It's only in the power of God when you repent of it. Let's go to Romans 12, and then we'll quit. This is him begging to do the same thing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And that's what that beseech is. It's he's taking the lowest seat to cause them to try to see. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you're putting to the test so you share with Christ in his test. He is the only good and perfect, etc. But that's how you... Casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, Manasseh was considered the most evil of one in the history of Israel, because he took two golden calves and put it in the temple. Now, we wouldn't ever think of doing something like that, would we? I promise you, you put 2, 3, 4, 5 golden calves in you as a temple of God. There's no wiggle room here. Casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. This is what it means to find faith. This is what it means to enter the Sabbath. This is what it means to... You can't serve two gods. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is something you rely on. Anyhow. Consider these things. I pray that you're able to repent. Take it, big guy.